This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
All right, I just turned it on.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here, and we have a guest in the studio this morning, and his name is...
Chuck Spohr.
Hey, Chuck. Good to see you again in the studio. He's been with us a couple times, calls in on a quite regular basis. Chuck, you're the president now of the Physically Challenged Bowhunters of America.
Yes, I am, and you're one of my board members.
I am one of the board members, that's for sure. And, you know, we had a little board meeting the other night and trying to iron things out. People... with disabilities and difficulty in being able to hunt, some across the country are members of the organization, and we would encourage them to be members and also encourage others to support the organization now that the president of the group is here in Maryland. So you guys do hunts all across the country.
Yes, we do.
And you got a handful of them coming up, as discussed in the meeting the other night. Wyoming hunts for, I guess, antelope.
Antelope, yep. We have an adult hunt in Lyman, which is in the western part of the state, and then adult wheelchair in Gillette, plus kids.
Plus kids, yeah. And I know Fran is a member,
right.
And Fran did participate in one of your hunts.
Last year.
Yeah. Last year. So, well, let's talk about that in a minute.
I know there's something.
Couple things, actually. We're gonna talk about one that you may or may not have heard of.
Oh, okay. Yes.
All right. So a woman by the name of Lauren Taylor is from Oregon. And this is what happened. This is wild. There's a mountain lion in our living room. Loving her to peace so she'll go out safely. This is apparently a Facebook series of continued posts, okay, along with 15 videos and 3 other videos and God knows how many photos of this lion. The last video I shared below shows her leaving peacefully after calming down and napping behind the sofa for over 6 hours. I'm adding this here along with photos and videos of her snuggling and sleeping because they become buried behind other comments, and I feel a responsibility to get this out so as not to sow fear. I've been urged to point out that I have extensive experience working with energy and animals, and I'm not suggesting anyone seek out interactions with mountain lions. I'd say that is a sage suggestion,
yes, it
wouldn't
is.
You? I also want to make sure people get the important lesson here about frequency and attunement. Chuck?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Frequency and attunement.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Cats are extremely psychic and perceptive of energy, and this lion could have been dangerous in an energy field of fear or anger. In fact, before I consciously elevated the energy field and entrained her to a theta state, that is T-H-E-T-A state, a housemate had shouted and slammed the door upon seeing her, and the lion was frightened, agitated, and determined to exit through a closed window. Once the energy shifted, she calmed down. Maybe she was just hungry. When she was so quiet, it was obvious from the position of her feet on the wall that she was laying down. I went outside to see through the window what she was doing. She was sleeping. When I made noise, she woke up and looked startled, so I consciously raised my frequency, gazed lovingly into her eyes, and communicated using feline speak, eye blinking to calm her. It was amazing to realize that this worked. I gazed lovingly, then blinked hard, and then she did it back. Then she went back to sleep. She clearly felt safe, and she showed no inclination to leave. When she woke again, I again connected in a loving gaze and communicated trust through blinking. My housemate came out, and the lion became very alert to a new person. I explained about the energy and the blinking, and she dropped into her heart, blinked, and the lion blinked back at her, relaxed, and curled up to sleep some more. It was just a couple hours to dawn, and we needed to prompt her to leave without alarming her so much that she panicked. I sent telepathic pictures of the routes out of the house via open doors and the route out the backyard, across the creek, through an open field, and back up into the hills. We got guidance that the way that to rouse her and get her to leave safe, her safe spot behind the sofa without panicking was through drumming. We called in Native Ancestor support and started drumming. She roused and knew just what to do. Walking out through open doors, through the yard, across the creek, and through the empty field behind us exactly as we had shown her. Keep in mind, this is telepathic. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. It was a perfect ending to a blessed encounter that could have been dangerous if approached from a lower frequency. That of food, I suspect. Thank you for seeing the and honoring the spirit of the encounter in this beautiful and powerful animal. Lauren. Now, there's an addendum. Would you like me to read that first before you comment?
Okay.
I know you're dying to, right? Addendum. To people suggesting putting out food. No! Please never put out food for bears or mountain lions. We do not want mountain lions or bears to associate humans with food. Gee, wonder why. This cat was drinking from our large fountain pond that's right at the back door before she came in. The door was open, and the room has huge plants and stairs built around real tree branches. So she likely didn't even realize she was walking indoors until she was inside. She immediately tried to leave through a closed window, became frightened when someone screamed, and hid behind the sofa. While it's important that animals have water sources during fire season, I would not suggest putting water sources right near a door or in a thoroughfare. I'm hopeful and confident this cougar will not be back. She was urged telepathically to go straight back through the open field into the hills and never come into town again for her own safety. And she did go straight through the open field away from the homes when she left. May she stay safely in the hills to enjoy a long life as a wild and healthy lion.
What state did you say that woman's from? Did it say
the? You mean the elevated state?
No.
Oregon.
That's all you got to say.
Okay. There you go. That's all you got to say. She's from Oregon. I thought I read it rather well and tried to get into the spirit. I'm getting texts and emails now. So now you know. So when you encounter that bear up near your stand, you're just going to have to reach out.
With my 270.
At a higher level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you started out the show with a comedic article.
I don't know if it's comedic or not. I think it was very serious to her. You know, I mean, if you can encourage a large predator to calm down through blinking at it, you know, I'm all for that. We think. Robin sent me an article, and I don't have it, and I know I'm going to have it here shortly, but she's probably going to send it again. But I believe it's, can't remember the state, one of the western ones, one of the Rocky Mountain states. I don't know, it's Montana, doesn't sound right. Anyway, they're having a grizzly bear hunt. Okay. they're allowing people to take 35 grizzly bears. They're recovered. They're off the endangered species right. list, and now they're becoming, you know, a problem in some areas.
Sort of like Maryland.
Yeah. Jane Goodall. Name ring a bell?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Jane Goodall. She was she wasn't the gorilla. Was she gorilla?
I think so.
There was two of them. One of them got killed over there. But Jane Goodall.
Yeah, Jane Goodall was with the apes.
With the apes?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the lady that got killed?
I'll have to take a look.
Yeah. Anyway, Jane Goodall is organizing people to apply for permits.
And not shoot them.
And not shoot them. Go photograph them. Go photograph them. So here's my suggestion. I suggest that the state figure out how to set aside a half dozen of those permits for people who want to go on a grizzly hunt with a camera only.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect if that happens, there'll be several less people buying up the permits that should go to hunters,
right?
You know, in the future. I'd love to take a picture of a grizzly bear in the wild. I'm not going to go out and try and do that. Going to Alaska next year.
Are you?
Yeah, we're going. Plan on taking some pictures of some brown bears from a safe environment.
Right.
Probably inside, let's hope, if we see any, you know. But you got to respect these animals, you know. And you got to understand that wildlife managers manage wildlife. That's what they do. And if some of those top-tier predators, those apex predators, become overpopulated, it's going to affect everything else. It's going to affect,
right.
you know, the natural balance of things.
And what you're going to do when somebody who takes a camera out there gets too close and then they're in the news because they got killed?
Well, we can only hope that doesn't happen. So, you know, that would be horrible.
Right. It would be. But, I mean, that's entirely possible.
It's certainly entirely possible. People have been, you know, killed by grizzly bears just by being there.
Right.
You know, so we don't want that to happen. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk about some of our sponsors. Then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some other stuff, like one of the main reasons you're here.
Oh, no, I knew it would be spirited, I think.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. And when we get into it, I want to get the people kind of woke up a little bit and, you know, get acclimated. But you set them up on social media last night. I don't know if you got any comments or not.
Oh, there was comments in each post.
Were they?
Yeah.
Good, bad, or indifferent?
Mostly hang the guy.
Oh, no, I meant on when you talked about the show that you talked about.
Oh, there's nobody. There's a couple likes to that post.
Oh, good. So, okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. We like most of the people that, you know.
He's in the Maryland Hunting Coalition, too.
Oh, good. So, all right. Well, summer's the time for picnics, rain, family get-togethers and camping trips, and rain. Summer's corn on the cob, rain. Steamed crabs, fresh tomatoes, rain. Summer is cold, juicy melons along with rain. But you know what? The rain and the weather we've had this year makes those juicy watermelons and tomatoes and corn much sweeter. The Schillinger family at Papa John's Farm, they gave us a tip. Steam your crabs with corn on the cob that you get from Papa John's Farm. Great family dinner. Hot corn, crab spice. Mm. You'll enjoy your time outdoors with great tasting food. Head to Schillinger Papa John's Farm in Severn. At their enormous produce barn, their own tasty, super sweet corn, homegrown tomatoes, ready to go. Their squashes, zucchini, peppers and onions, green beans, cucumbers, mouth-watering cantaloupes, and sweet watermelons, too. Papa John's Farm is located just off I-97, exit 12. That's 8065 New Cut Road in Severn. Phone number is 410-969-8810. Papa John's Farm is open every day, Monday to Saturday from 9 to 7, Sunday 9 to 6. That phone number again, 410-969-8810. Got a church group, a family reunion, and want to do a big old corn boil? Papa John's is where you go. Visit Schillinger's Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners rated number one, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex. Chesapeake Outdoors. We like talking about Chesapeake Outdoors. They're the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers and have Kent Island's largest selection of fishing and crabbing supplies, custom bucktails and parachutes and umbrella, all the terminal tackle, including non-offset circle hooks. They've got chum. They've got alewives. They've got all the live and frozen baits you need for fishing and crabbing, rods and reels and tackle for the bay, for the tidal rivers, for freshwater fishing, full selection of live bait and frozen bait. Now, they also carry the Yeti coolers and tumblers, the Costa sunglasses, the Bubba Blade knives, but bow season is right around the corner, isn't it, Chuck? September 7th, believe it or not, 5 weeks away. Raven crossbows, Matthews solo cam bows, and Hoyt bows are, all their Hoyt bows are on sale. Barnett, Mission, Excalibur 10-point, Carbon Express, even Parker crossbows are available. Custom cut arrows and bow tuning and accessories. Why not stop by Chesapeake Outdoors, whether it's fishing, hunting, or crabbing? They've got it all. 410-604-2500. Did I tell you where they were from yet? Did I tell you how to get there? It's Route 50 East, right off the Bay Bridge, exit 39B. That's Dominion Road, Kent Island. That's 50 East, 39B, Kent Island. 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
The red-headed stranger from Blue Rock, Montana, rode into town one day, and under his knees was a raging black stallion, walking behind was a bay. The red-headed stranger had eyes like thunder, and his lips, they were sad and tight. His little lost love lay asleep on the hillside, and his heart was heavy as night. Don't cross him, don't boss him, he's wild in his sorrow, he's riding, hiding his pain. Don't fight it, don't spite it, just wait till tomorrow. Maybe he'll ride on again.
Oh, Willie, Red-Headed Stranger. That was a, there was a movie about that. Didn't quite follow the song, but Willie was a preacher. You remember that one? Red-Headed Stranger?
No.
No, he wasn't.
I'm not a big movie person.
Oh, well, hey, you know, that was when Willie was Willie. Jane Goodall was who we were trying to think of. She is the one behind this. Wyoming is where the grizzly bear.
Oh, that is?
Yeah. Diane Fossey is the woman who was murdered back in 1985. So, hey, our number here is 410-WCBM680. You're going to want to remember that or write it down, because we're going to talk about what happened in Dorchester County a week or so ago, July 16th. And this just hit the DNR webpage yesterday. A Cambridge man faces fines in excess of $10,000 on charges he illegally killed six white-tailed bucks in a single evening. The headline says, Cambridge man charged under the Poaching Restitution Act. You're familiar with that,
yes, right? I am.
The Poaching Restitution Act was 2016, and it was a signature effort by the Maryland Hunting Coalition that year in the General Assembly. Acting on complaints of gunfire in the area on July 16th, Maryland Natural Resource Police officers found Brian Edward Knabb, Sr., 53 years old, in a field with a rifle and other hunting equipment. He explained that he was shooting under the terms of a deer management permit issued for a property on Blue Water Drive in Cambridge. Remember that, Blue Water Drive, and just in case you have a lease down there. That permit stated, quote, only antlerless deer, does, and button bucks may be taken unless otherwise stated on permit. Quote, end quote. The permit, signed by Knabb, included no additional provisions. After an investigation, Knabb was charged July 23rd with six counts of hunting out of season, failing to wear fluorescent while shooting on a management permit, and violating a deer management permit. All six bucks were in velvet, and Knabb's rifle was seized as evidence. Knabb is scheduled to appear in Dorchester County Court November 21st. He will be tried under the Maryland Poaching Restitution Act, which requires judges to order restitution in community service in cases of deer poaching. A buck with antlers scoring 150 or fewer inches on the Boone and Crockett Club system requires restitution of $2,000 to $5,000 and 80 hours of community service times six. The picture is disturbing. Chris saw it. Chuck saw it. We all see it. It's online.
Right.
And if you go to the DNR website, it's only a portion of the picture, but you got to click on it, and there are six bucks laid out. And I would say, Chuck, two of them are probably shooters at this point. Okay, there's a couple smaller ones. There's one here that has a rack that has some real potential. I mean, some real mass to it coming out of the head.
No potential anymore.
No potential anymore. It's dead. Big hole in the side. But $6 laying there side by side. It's a very disgusting photo. It's not for the kids to look at, but there are six dead bucks laying in the field, killed by Mr. Knabb, Brian Edward Knabb. And it was in a field, and it was on Blue Water Drive in Cambridge. What were your thoughts, Chuck, when you saw this?
Sick. I was sick.
Yeah.
I mean, deer management permits is another subject, but for somebody just to go out and poach $6 in velvet, some of them shooters, and not give it a chance for a sportsman to go out after it, sucks.
In July.
Well, yeah, that
yeah,
too.
I mean, season doesn't start till September
right,
with a bow.
Right,
you know?
But
it's gone. It's stolen from the landscape.
It's stolen from me?
Stolen from you. That's right. I would like to know if any hunters lease any farms in that area. Here's how this works. If you make it known to a real estate agent or others or farmers or the farming community that you're looking for a property to lease, you'll get a phone call, or you can make a phone call. You'll be invited to the farm. You'll be shown a lot of deer tracks. This is usually in January, February, March, okay, before any crops are on the field. You'll be shown perhaps emerging crops, perhaps crops that were planted with no intention of survival. You'll be shown a lot of deer tracks because that time of year is when the deer are grouped together, as is their thing, okay? Bucks and does and fawns all together. And you'll be told how much deer damage the farmer has on his property. And he needs your help. And you say, boy, look at all the evidence. There's got to be a lot of deer here. There's some pretty big tracks. I don't know if that's bucks or does or what that is. And you'll be told a story. you'll plunk down your money just in time to pay the taxes in April, you know, whatever that lease might be. Could be 10, 15,000, could be more, depending on, you know, the landowner and what kind of story tells and how many people you got in your group and so forth. And it's all cash. So you make your deal, you sign your lease, and off you go in your merry way back to your home across the bridge or wherever you might live. And the farmer picks up the phone and he says, "Cut them all, boys. We got the money." And out go their agents. As one of the most prolific deer permit agents said on one of our Facebook pages one time, "Big or small, kill them all." That's a quote. So, from April, May, June, July, August, September, 6 months, the agents are shooting
right
on deer management permits. Deer management permits are valid 365 days a year, including Sunday. If you're in a county where it's a rifle county like Dorchester, you can use a rifle. I suspect that this fellow was using a pretty high-quality piece of equipment, something capable of shooting a deer at 500 yards. Now, are those deer recovered? Usually not. If you look at some of the holes there, Chuck, you'll see some of those deer may have died on the spot, but that one in particular, that big one?
Gut shot.
Why? Why do they shoot him in the guts? Is the guy that bad of a shot?
No, so they'll run in the woods and they'll never see him again.
Exactly. The only living creatures that see that deer after tonight, after this guy shot it, and if he wasn't caught, would be the possums and the raccoons and the buzzards and the coyotes and the eagles that would, you know, feast upon it. And if he dies on the edge, well, you know, by the time the season comes around to harvest the crops, those bones are going to be ground into the ground, and, you know, there's no evidence anymore. So then you show up on your lease. Muzzleloader season, let's say. You don't see any more deer tracks. You don't see any deer. You might see a couple small does or something. And you say to the landowner, "What happened to the deer?" He says, "Buddy, I don't know. Maybe they went nocturnal. We don't see many of them anymore. Not sure what happened, but you were down here in the spring. You saw how many we had. Maybe you need some bait. I got some corn bagged up over there. You might want to get some bait and put out." This is disturbing and disgusting, and yep. I'm certainly glad this guy got caught.
Yes, definitely. And if you, well, you said you already looked, but he has prior DNR violations.
Yes, he does.
Yep.
Yes, he does. A couple of them. You know,
not as serious as this one, but.
Well, shooting across the road.
Well, yeah, but
yeah, I mean, that's pretty serious, right. You know. But you know, hey, look, he's presumed innocent until proven guilty. We can talk about him all we want. We can say bad things about him. But, I mean, it doesn't look good for him.
Nope.
You know, I mean, he's caught red-handed with six dead bucks and a rifle, you know, and admitted to shooting deer on crop damage permit. I mean, he already admitted that he did it. So.
He's probably been doing it for years, so he can't use the thing that's the first year that he did it.
It's a culture, actually. It's a culture. In certain regions in this state, and that area being one of them, it is a cultural, generational thing. And, you know, he just got caught. Now, will that serve as an example to others that natural resources police are on patrol looking out? What do you think?
No.
Why do you say that?
Because if they get away with it once, they'll get away with it again.
Over and over.
And over and over.
And over. Yep. If you recall on our Facebook page, Maryland Hunting Coalition, last August, there was a picture of a velvet buck that
right.
was lying dead in a field. Same property owner. One of 17 dead velvet bucks found in the field.
So obviously the farmer wants the bucks killed too.
Big or small, kill them all.
If it's brown, it's down.
If it's brown, it's dead. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. So I'd like to hear the comments of our listeners on that little story right there, right here in our under our noses in Maryland. Do we have any hunters out there? And look, I'm not against a farmer shooting deer on crop damage permits, as long as he's within the confines of his permit.
But how many of them are abused? How many don't follow that?
How will we ever know?
We won't.
How will we ever know? Now, the Farm Bureau had a meeting this week to talk about a new deer management permit that they've been negotiating with the administration about, and we got wind of it early on, although the hunting community wasn't involved in any of the conversations. It was simply between agriculture and the administration, and which is kind of sad because when you're dealing with wildlife, I think the hunting community, especially deer, I think the hunting community should be in on the conversation.
Definitely.
But this would authorize, under certain conditions, permit holders, deer management permit holders. So deer management permit's a crop damage permit, basically. It used to be called a crop damage permit. Now it's a deer management permit. Okay. This is law holders of DMPs, deer management permits, to be allowed to shoot deer at night.
Didn't they try to get that last year?
Well, see, that's what they were negotiating with DNR about. Okay. They were negotiating with the administration and the Farm Bureau, and DNR was involved, about being able to obtain a deer cooperator permit. Deer cooperator permit is certainly legitimate. People use deer cooperator permits to take deer on public lands that are inaccessible, and, you know, like county parks and things like that, where, you know, there's too many deer. They want to open that program up to permit holders of deer management permits. Now, as I stated earlier, a deer management permit allows a farmer to shoot deer 365 days a year, including Sundays, and use any and all manner of firearms. Even in places like Charles and St. Mary's County, where you have to use a shotgun, they're allowed to use, farmers are allowed to use rifles to take deer out on deer management permits. 365 days a year. During daylight hours. There are two laws on the book that prohibit shooting at night. Okay, why? There's two reasons. It's unfair, number one. Number two, it's unsafe. So if you unleash 1,700 deer management permit holders with their 10,000 agents, turn them loose and allow them to shoot at night, how do you enforce the poaching laws? How do you enforce any laws? And how do you keep the citizens safe?
You don't.
You do not. So the coalition, through a sponsor, Senator Astle, tried to do a preemptive strike. We heard that this was coming. Okay? So we knew it was coming. The Farm Bureau representative had the proposal in his hand. Thank God I took a picture of it because I knew it. Now I know we know what the terms are, okay? And they're petitioning the administration to say there are certain cases where we can't kill enough deer and we have to go after them at night because they go nocturnal. Why do they go nocturnal? Because you shoot at them all year long.
Right.
Okay? So now you want to shoot them 24/7. What kind of enforcement nightmare that would that be? And any poacher out there who spots a big buck can go out, shine a light on it, kill it at night, shoot it with a night vision scope or whatever it might be. And how can the laws be enforced if that's allowed to happen?
I can't see how they can.
I don't either. I mean, how can this administration even consider allowing deer to be killed at night? At one time, you could, in a very limited case. But the Farm Bureau wants to open this up to all of its members. You got to be in the club. I'd like to hear the comments of our listeners. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Boy, I got a bunch of emails coming in. Look here. Okay. Yeah. Did that. Let's see what some of our... No phone calls. Chris, no phone calls. Our wildlife resources are being
poached.
Yeah.
Cricket, taken away from everybody.
Crickets out there among the hunters. Let's see. Chuck is right. It gets easier every time he did it and just keeps going. Guys like that don't learn. They just figure out ways to get more and don't need to work to get it. Yeah. Okay. What were you going to say, Chuck? You got a comment? No. I'm amazed. I really am. But that's okay. I understand. We'll talk about it more second hour. Are our listeners in stunned silence? Are they expecting more from me to talk about? Maybe. But it's time to call and comment. 410 WCBM 680. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Ah, mercy. While we're doing that, let's talk about Clyde Sports Shop for a second.
Definitely be
you all right?
Good place.
Yeah, I like Clyde Sports Shop. We're going to talk about hunting season coming up. You know, they do carry all different kinds of bows in there. They have the Kotobo crossbow, and they have some bear crossbows in there. Get ready for archery season. But, they are your full-line Browning dealer, too. This time of year, people are doing shooting sports, sporting clays and trap and skeet and things like that. So the 725 Satori is just a perfect over and under for that kind of stuff. It handles very fast. And if you get used to shooting that over and under, you can take that. There's a field model too for ducks or geese or whatever. If you like shooting it over and under, it's a really cool gun to get proficient at. There's the A5, which is, the hump, the old famous humpback, the most reliable, fastest cycling, best performing, and softest shooting recoil generated auto loader on the planet.
I got one.
You have an A5?
Yep.
Did you shoot your 100,000 rounds or your through it or
no, I'm
collect your 5-year guarantee? All right.
I've had it since I was 16.
There you go. Well, the new ones have a 500,000 round or 5-year guarantee with them. Then there's the Maxis. That's kind of a new gun on the scene for the last few years. Comes in Mossy Oak camo. It's an auto loader, 3 or 3.5-inch chambers, a new power drive gas system, helps reduce recoil, and of course the old famous BPS pump. The difference between the BPS and most other pump shotguns is that the BPS has bottom ejection, so you're not slamming shells into the side of the head of the guy next to you in the goose blind. Bottom ejection, DuraTouch armor coating, Mossy Oak breakup, Infinity camo, and 3 choke tubes come with the BPS pump, and it comes in all gauges, including a 12 and a 20-gauge deer model. All at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. And the 24-hour fishing hotline, 247-FISH.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Thunderstorms few and far between for the weekend. After stormy weather last night, it looks like things settle down a little bit here for today and tomorrow. Monday stays dry, but then big-time storms catch up with us Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Much of early August features some heavy downpours into next week. Our temperatures this afternoon in the mid-80s, low tonight 66. Stray thunderstorm Sunday, 85 degrees. Monday, sunshine and low 80s. I'm Scott Laurie, more at the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number 1 and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Line X. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Line X.
I know you said.
Oh, you're looking at me to do something? Sorry. Chuck was talking to me. It's his fault. Let me tell you one more time about Chesapeake Outdoors. What?
Tell them about Chesapeake Outdoors. We'll talk later.
All right. Roof 50 East, exit 39B Dominion Road, right across the bridge, if you're coming from this side. It's on Kent Island. Let's make that perfectly plain. First choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. It's Kent Island's largest selection of fishing and crabbing supplies. And I'm telling you, you get out there and do some crabbing. It's a little tough right now with all the rain and all the muddy water and that type of thing. But when you're ready to rock and roll, they're ready to go, too. They've got everything. They've got the pots and the traps and the trot lines and the whole deal for crabbing. They've got the bait, everything you need. Live and frozen bait for not only crabbing but fishing, too. Also for fishing, custom bucktails and parachutes and umbrellas. They've got the non-offset circle hooks, custom planer boards, lines and flags if you want to troll. Rods and reels for Chesapeake Bay, Tidal River freshwater fishing, even the Tidal Rivers. Live bait, frozen bait, Yeti coolers, Costa sunglasses, Bubba Blade knives, crossbows, guns, ammo, hunting supplies, camo clothing, extra tough boots, Waterman boots, Grunden rainwear. They got it all. Does that sound like I covered some of it a little bit? Anyway, Chesapeake Outdoors, Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road, Kent Island, 410-604-2500. Their friendly and courteous staff is standing by to help you with your selection today. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Stop my car, I've got too many fish in back. Please, DNR, stay too long at the bar. When I counted them, I must have lost track. I'm sure you've heard lots of crazy words about why a licensee lacked. While he was hunting birds, the strangest thing occurred. A wolf wound up. Don't stop my car with my bow and arrow, that deer I whacked. Please, DNR, I don't need to go far. I'm only trying to sneak home from my hunting shack. My eyes are awfully blurred. That whiskey was my third while I hunted for that big rack. Hunting sober is preferred. Your breathalyzer, I demur. Got another bottle in my backpack.
I think you get the point. Greg in Somerset County, then Odell in Baltimore. Good morning, Greg. Thanks for holding on through the break. How are you doing?
Well, good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm well. What's up?
Well, I wanted to ask you a question. I've been wondering for years. I've been living here in Somerset County for 30 years. Moved from Baltimore County down to here because of the crime and stuff, you know.
Yeah, sure.
The reason why I'm calling is I wanted to ask, I have about 6 acres here, and I have my own forest. I have a great big horse field also and a great big yard, but I see a lot of deer in my woods, my little forest. And I'm wondering, can you shoot a deer legally on your own property anytime you want?
No.
Can't do that?
Nope.
Well, how come?
Because there are laws, there are rules and regulations, there are deer seasons. But, I mean, if you take a bow and arrow or a crossbow, you can shoot one this year from September 7th through January.
The end of January.
End of January. I mean, you know, I don't know how much more time you need.
No, it's not that. I have a muzzle loader, and I'm just wondering if I can just collect deer in the woods and sit there and maybe throw a couple apples on the ground.
No, you cannot. Only during muzzle loader season.
Or rifle.
Or rifle season, or firearm season, yeah.
But if I have no blazes, can I still do it for fun of it? I mean, I'm actually going to gut the deer.
No, you cannot. You'll be arrested. It's illegal to do that. That's called poaching. Killing a deer out of season is poaching and is punishable by fines and penalties.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's what I was asking. I never shot one yet in my life.
You may not need a hunting license on your property, but you certainly need a hunter safety education course. You need to carry a harvest tag with you. Right. You need to call in that deer when you shoot it, and it has to be killed during legal hunting hours.
Oh my, okay. Well, I didn't know that. That's what I was calling. I just didn't know. I didn't have no clue. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Well, I thank you for your information. I had no clue.
I would, if you're in Somerset County, I'd stop down at one of the local sporting goods stores and get a book of the rules and regulations.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do. I got my fishing license and all that. I've never been hunting. I mean, I've never really hunted. I got a couple of rabbits and squirrels here and the 22, but, you know, I've never shot a deer in my life. But my neighbor always gives me one every year.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. No, Greg, you're subject. I mean, it's just like getting a driver's license. You just can't go drive a damn car anywhere you want, anytime you want. A license, you need the same rules and regulations applied on. It's a privilege, not a right as a property owner.
Okay, I understand that. Well, I appreciate your information.
You got it, buddy.
You know, thank you. I'll talk to you later then.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate the call.
Oh, thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Odell, thanks for the call. What's up?
Good morning, Alan. I missed it. You were talking something about they trying to pass the law to hunt at nighttime.
No, that's not exactly what I said. The Maryland.
I got out of my tractor and got in my pickup and turned radio when I heard something about nighttime. That's kind of crazy.
The Maryland Farm Bureau is negotiating with the Hogan administration and the Department of Natural Resources to obtain what we call a dumbed-down deer cooperator permit, okay?
Right.
Which allows them to kill deer at night on a deer management permit.
I don't know. I think that's kind of dangerous myself. Ridiculous.
Well, I appreciate you weighing in on that. That was why we went to the General Assembly and said this should not be. And the committee, the Senate Education, Health, and Environmental Committee, agreed with us. And the chair of that committee actually went to war on the House of the Senate and lost to those pro-agriculture senators who didn't think this was a good idea.
Yeah, next thing you know, you have somebody out there with a pickup truck and floodlights, and somebody else is hunting out there with no.
Oh, it's worse than that. I mean, it's not just spotlighting. It's infrared scopes. It's night vision scopes and goggles and binoculars and things like that that allow them to see the deer without using a light. Therefore, more difficult to detect. Now, these six bucks that I talked about, Chuck and I talked about, were not killed at night. They were killed at about 7 o'clock in the evening.
Right.
All right?
Yeah, I appreciate everything you do, but I think I agree with you. It's crazy. I mean, the deer don't get a chance to rest or anything, you know what I mean? And anybody's going to go hunting and ain't ever been hunting before, we're talking about shooting a deer, I don't want to be in the woods around them or in the same county.
Big or small, kill them all. That's the words of one of the agents on a lot of the crop damage permits in the region we're talking about.
Well, they did that in Pennsylvania in, you know, the early 1900s, and the deer was almost extinct in Pennsylvania, and then they start, you know.
Maryland, too.
Yeah.
Maryland, too. I mean, we didn't have a deer season in Maryland until 1931. Meshack Browning wiped them out. All right, Odell. Thank you for the call, buddy.
I appreciate everything you do.
See you, man. Thanks.
Good work up. Thank you.
Bye-bye. There goes Odell. Kind of. There he goes. What do you think, Chris? Any thoughts?
I'm just taking it all in.
That's good. I think a lot of people are. I wish more people would comment. You know, I really do. I mean, Chuck and I are out here. Chuck's, you know, spreading the word all across social media. And, you know, the coalition tried to prevent the Farm Bureau from, you know, the DNR allowing members of the Farm Bureau to be able to shoot deer at night. We've got laws on the books that prohibit it. And it's just a tough row. I mean, here's the bottom line. You know, money walks and deer management talks. I mean, money talks and deer management walks in this state, apparently. So, you know, I think we're stewards. I think as hunters, we need to be stewards of our wildlife. I think we need to do everything we can to maintain a sustainable herd of wildlife. Not just for us, because they don't belong to the hunters and they don't belong to the farmers. Deer belong to everybody. Every citizen in Maryland owns the deer, and nobody owns the deer. It's under the public trust doctrine. If a deer wanders onto a farm, the farmer doesn't own it. Okay? Belongs to all of us. Hunters, non-hunters alike. Belongs to all of us. Just want to make that plain. These guys are stealing your deer, Chris, and your deer, Chuck, and my deer, and anybody who's listening, we're stealing the deer from the landscape. Now get out, stay out, stay safe.